The Drive with Derek Gilbert. Your city, your station. The Eagle 93.9.
What if in 2007 we got rid of the income tax altogether? Wouldn't that be cool? Well, we'll talk about the implications of that and how we can go about doing that. William Phelps, national spokesman for fairtax.org, joins us just after 6 o'clock. And now we talk to a gentleman who's been kind of poking holes in some of the convenient and politically motivated science stories put out by the media over the last few years. He is the publisher of JunkScience.com, frequently featured at Fox News and FoxNews.com. Welcome Steve Malloy to the Eagle 93.9. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Derek. Great to be here.
So you've compiled what you believe the top 10 junk science moments for 2006 are.
Yep, as we do every year at JunkScience.com.
Now, how'd you go about compiling the list? How much stuff did you have to weed through to come up with the top 10?
Well, we stay on this on a daily basis at the website. And so people can go there every day and see what's going on. And then I write a weekly column for Fox News. I write the junk science column. So, I have to pick a topic basically every week. So this top 10 list comes out of the, top 50 that I've already culled during the year.
Okay. Let's pick one that I think most people would, of the 10 on the list, let me start it this way. Which of the 10 do you think people would be most surprised by?
Most surprised. I think they'd be surprised by the one about DDT, which is actually the one piece of good news. Of really good news. Most people, I'm in my late 40s. Most people have grown up my generation and since have mm-hmm. been taught / brainwashed that, DDT is just like the worst chemical that's ever been invented by man. It's responsible mm-hmm. for, the near extinction of the bald eagle, thinned eggshells, Rachel Carson is a hero, blah, blah, blah.
Silent spring, the condors right. are disappearing, that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, most people would be surprised to find out that none of that is true. There was never any scientific reason for banning DDT. It was not related to what happened to the bald eagle, did not thin eggshells, doesn't pose any threat to human health. And the DDT ban, in fact, has actually cost lives. It's killed tens of millions of Africans, sub-Saharan Africa, sickened billions and cost more than $1 trillion in lost GDP over the last 30 years because we haven't been able to use DDT to, spray and kill mosquitoes that transmit malaria.
Tens of millions lost. So you're saying that there were over a million a year dying of malaria in Africa?
Oh, yeah, still there are right now, a million a year, more than a million a year, mostly children under 5 and pregnant women that die every year needlessly from malaria because there's no effective, the only effective tool really is DDT for a number of reasons. You've got the Gates Foundation out there handing out bed nets, of course, bed nets
yeah.
don't work.
Yeah, you can go to the place.
Yeah, no, they don't work for the main reason nobody wants to sleep in them. It's hot out there. Who's going to sleep in a bed net? They're not comfortable.
No, and you have to come out of the bed net at some point, in which the mosquitoes have free access to you again.
Right, and of course, the mosquitoes' favorite time are the twilight hours, which aren't many people sleeping then. They're out and about. So it's ridiculous. And then the other Gates thing is the elusive malaria vaccine. Well, there's no malaria vaccine coming anytime soon. Meanwhile, hundreds of millions of people a year get malaria. About a million die every year, a million or so die every year. And then all this toll takes an economic toll on sub-Saharan Africa. It's an ongoing tragedy. It's one of the greatest holocausts of the 20th century. Most people don't know about it.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, I can see right now we need to do a whole show on this because there are all sorts of implications here as to why this story is going unreported while we're hearing about all kinds of other diseases.
Right. Yeah. The good news is that, I guess we didn't talk about it. The good news this year, the World Health Organization finally rolled back its ban on the use of malaria on DDT. So DDT will now start to be introduced. Not enough from my point of view, but they're going to start using it in sub-Saharan Africa and around the world, and this will start to bring down the toll.
That is good news. Steve Malloy of JunkScience.com is our guest on the Eagle 93.9 as we talk about the top 10 junk science moments of 2006. How about health-related issues as far as what we eat? What were some of the moments that you saw in 2006?
Well, I mean, you know, probably the biggest one that's in the news now, and you know, with Starbucks, just their announcement today, New York City banned restaurants from selling foods with trans fats. Trans fats are man-made vegetable oils, you know, used in pastries and crackers, McDonald's fries, it's French fries and trans fats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 30 years ago, we were scared about saturated fats and basically scared from, you know, saturated fat containing butter into trans fats containing margarine. And now we're being scared about that margarine. You know, and sort of the lay of the land is over the last 30 years, as the myths about saturated fat have been debunked, the food police community has come up with this whole new set of myths about trans fats. So now we're, you know, I mean, it's a crazy situation because the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, considers trans fats generally recognized as safe, which is the highest safety rating they have. But now you have New York City has banned them from restaurants. Chicago's thinking of banning them. Companies like Starbucks and KFC have said that they're going to stop using trans fats. It's crazy. You know, junkscience.com, we look at these studies and we find that there's, you know, no scientific basis for this. This is just sort of a mania created by a couple scientists out of Harvard, and they've been very successful at it.
Well, but reducing fats and going to low-fat diet is good for you, right?
Well, no, that's another myth that has gone by the wayside finally. You know, there's a whole set of these myths that we've been living under since the 1970s. You know, avoid saturated fat, don't salt your food, you know, avoid sugar, you know, dietary fiber is going to reduce your risk of colon cancer. All these things have gone by the wayside. This year, earlier this year, there were three large studies in the Journal of the American Medical Association finally put the nail in the coffin about low-fat diets. They said low-fat diets don't reduce your risk of heart disease and don't reduce your risk of cancer. You know, this has been, scientists have known about this for a long time, but by the time it finally gets out to the public, you know, it's a long road, and you know, that's what junk science is for. You know, this is not to say for, like, you know, there are people that have certain medical conditions and diseases and they're on special diets by the doctors and, you know, that's what they got to do. But for your normal, average, healthy person, low-fat diets don't really buy anything. They don't reduce your risk of heart disease just by themselves. They don't reduce your risk of cancer.
Well, I think the key there then is just avoid the man-made fats and just go back to lard and butter on everything. And as long as you do it in moderation, you'll be all right. Our guest is Steve Malloy. We're recounting the top 10 junk science moments of 2006. He's the publisher of junkscience.com. And our conversation continues next on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
Live, local, listening to you. The Drive with Derek Gilbert. Your city, your station. The Eagle 93.9.
Speaking of Neil Bortz, by the way, his New Year's resolution is to quit bashing creationists. So if you're worried about tuning in and being called a pinhead later tonight, as he's been ranting about that for the last few days, he says he's not going to do that anymore. So Neil Bortz tonight after 9 on the Eagle 93.9. We're talking with Stephen Malloy of junkscience.com. You might have seen his weekly column at foxnews.com as well, talking about the top 10 junk science moments for 2006. Now, Stephen, we've got mid to upper 50 degree temperatures here in mid-Missouri the first week of January. Is this the result of global warming?
Well, no. I mean, you know, global warming, if indeed it is happening, is going to happen on a much larger scale. I mean, after all, they call it climate change, not weather change. Now, it's true that Al Gore and all the other global warming alarmists like to blame weather events on, you know, a change in the climate, but no serious climatologist can do that. I mean, we've had warm spells before. We'll have warm spells again, and we'll also have cold spells, by the way. And, you know, none of this is any guarantee what's going to happen next week. Next week we could hit record lows. I mean, you just never know. It's all unpredictable. You know, odds are we're going to have a winter that is somewhere around the temperature of last winter. Probably a little higher. You know, the northern hemisphere has been warming for the last 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no evidence that this is a result of global warming or human man-made emissions of greenhouse gases. It's just, you know, warmer weather, enjoy it, because it could be a lot worse.
What are these scientists basing their predictions of doom and destruction on?
Well, they have these complex mathematical models which they try to simulate global climate, but they do a lousy job of predicting, you know, historical temperatures. So it's kind of hard to put any faith in them in the future, unless, of course, you're Al Gore, whose job is to, you know, jet around the world, burn fossil fuels, and then scare people about using them.
Yeah, that's a question I guess it isn't asked often enough. They haven't invented the hybrid jet yet.
No. No, there's no wind-powered jet either.
Yeah, yeah. So I see that the Al Gore frenzy or whatever you want to call it is the number one moment on the year.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, Al Gore has been, you know, jetting around the world, scaring people about global warming. I saw his slideshow, you know, the movie An Inconvenient Truth is really a slideshow. And I saw the slideshow in person last January, delivered by Mr. Gore, and afterwards I went up to him and I said, well, you know, look, Mr. Gore, you know plenty of scientists that hold your point of view, and I know plenty of scientists that hold my point of view. Why don't we get them together and let's have a debate? I mean, it'd be great TV. I mean, this is the issue that, you know, many people are interested in. Let's have a great debate. And, you know, he couldn't run away fast enough from that. So,
is there any indication in the research, the science that you've seen over the course of the last year that might explain why the planet is getting warmer?
Well, we're coming out of a period that was known before as the Little Ice Age. It lasted, you know, for 400 or 500 years between the 15th and 19th centuries. And, you know, if listeners can imagine remember the picture of George Washington crossing the Delaware River Christmas night, 1776, you know,
yeah.
these big ice flows in there. And that's kind of a representation of what it was like. I mean, it was so cold that the Delaware River was choked with ice. And we've come out of that now, and it's a good thing. You know, the reason Napoleon's march back from Moscow, you know, bitter cold, little ice age. We don't have that now. For the last 200 years, climate's been warming. Agricultural productivity has boomed, thanks in part to better weather. Climate is always going to change. It's always going to be getting cooler or warmer. You know, there's no stasis. And as between the two, we generally rather have it get warmer.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I'm not complaining at all. As long as it doesn't get so warm that we start dealing with flying cockroaches like they've got in Florida, I'm okay.
Well, I don't think there's any historical precedent for that, so I think we're going to be okay.
No, but we are seeing...
It's going to get cold, don't worry.
We are seeing the march of the armadillos up here in the Missouri, which is really interesting. Stephen Malloy of JunkScience.com is our guest on the Eagle 93.9. We're talking the top 10 junk science moments for 2006. One of the big issues in the election last fall, Stephen, was the... stem cell initiative here in Missouri.
Oh,
Amendment
yeah.
2. And I see that stem cells fall on your list.
And Missouri taxpayers are going to get screwed left and right. Embryonic stem cell research compared to adult stem cell research is a pipe dream. I mean, the reason that Missouri taxpayers will now be funding embryonic stem cell research is because private investors know that there's no hope of getting anything out of embryonic stem cell research, so they won't put any money into it. So the embryonic stem cell research have created this whole illusion that, you know, there's cures to diseases like cancer and diabetes and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's just around the corner. You know, they got Michael J. Fox on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all nonsense, because if it was true, if there was anything to it, you'd have private investors put their own money towards it. You'd have companies, doing research for products, but there's none of that happening. So they have to go to the public trough. And this is just, you know, scientists and venture capitalists looking to bail out companies that they've put lots of money in and have gotten no results. The face of embryonic stem cell research should really be this South Korean guy. It is a South Korean guy named Wang Woo-suk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the leading embryonic stem cell researcher the last few years. He had a series of amazing discoveries until we found out that they were fraud. And in 2006, he was indicted by the South Korean government for faking his research. And he's really the sort of the poster child. Now we have, you know, Missouri taxpayers going to be picking up the bill for embryonic stem cell research. We have Nancy Pelosi now in Congress. She's going to be introducing a bill to expand federal funding for embryonic stem cell research, and it's really just taxpayers getting stuck with, a bag of goods.
Stephen, why is it that the media, the major media, is putting attention behind the promise of embryonic stem cells and behind, other forms of medical research and not paying attention to really concrete things that could be done to help people in need, like DDT?
Well, I think, you know, it's a complicated question, but I would say that, you know, there's a list of politically correct and politically incorrect topics. DDT is politically incorrect. Embryonic stem cells research is politically correct because, in some sense, it's tied to the whole abortion issue, which is politically correct. So, I mean, you can go down the list and see where, you know, figure out what the political correctness is. And, you know, it's like saturated fats, trans fats, you know, dietary issues. There is political correctness there, too. And that's how these issues shake out. Usually anything that's, you know, tied to business and industry is politically incorrect, and anything tied to, greater government involvement is politically correct.
Stephen Malloy of JunkScience.com joins us on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. Stephen, any other stories on your list that were particularly important we ought to know about?
I can't overstate the importance of the global warming thing, you know, because we're going to see that in a big way this year. And a good example of something we included on the list, I think it was number three, the hurricane season that never was.
Right, yes.
You know, we had all the, you know, climate alarmists and the National Weather Service predicting that 2006 was, you know, going to be this horrendous hurricane season. They gave only a 5% chance of it being a below normal season. Halfway through the season, they reiterated that prediction, you know, 95% chance of another blowout season. Of course, what happened, we had, you know, the 5%, the 1 in 20 chance of a below-average hurricane season. Now, the implication of this is that, you know, if these guys with all these sophisticated computers and all this data, you know, they can't look out 6 months and predict what's going to happen, how are we going to rely on them to, you know, make climate predictions 10, 20, 50, 100 years in the future, okay? And now, you know, it's not just... the economic ramifications are serious. What these alarmists want to do, what Al Gore wants to do, is make energy more scarce, and he wants to make it more expensive. We don't know that humans are impacting climate. If humans are impacting climate, we don't know that it's necessarily for the worse, and we don't know that anything can be done about it.
Yeah, story number five on your list of top 10 junk science moments of 2006, I think, makes the case very plain. Basically, global warming is caused by the sun.
Yeah, that's a big yellow ball in the sky, not the invisible gases. This is another great story, you know, underreported by the media. A study came out in the fall in a prestigious publication that cosmic rays from outer space, actually, you know, from the Big Bang, can affect cloud cover, and cloud cover affects climate, and in such a way that 5 years worth of cosmic rays can have as much impact on climate as 200 years of man-made greenhouse gas emissions.
Wow.
And that story went completely unreported. Al Gore can't say cosmic ray.
Story number nine on your list. We need to touch on this before we close. SpongeBob SquarePants in trouble with the food police.
Yeah, the Center for Science and Public Interest, I call them the food police because they're all, you know, they're the ones that called, like, Chinese food or fettuccine Alfredo a heart attack on a plane. They went out and moved popcorn, Chinese food, all that kind of stuff. They and a couple other groups sued Kellogg Nickelodeon for using SpongeBob SquarePants to advertise to kids, claiming that SpongeBob SquarePants is harming kids' health. And, you know, they're relying on this study from the Institute of Medicine, which basically concluded that advertising works. That's why advertisers use it.
Yeah.
You know, it gets kids to bother their parents in the supermarket. But, of course, that is a far cry, and the study does not link SpongeBob SquarePants with adverse health consequences to kids. If parents are, you know, concerned that their kids are, you know, not eating the right thing, all they have to do is say no.
Yeah. You can't legislate stupid.
Not SpongeBob's fault.
Yeah, that's what it boils down to, people trying to legislate against stupid. And finally, the not-so-deadly air in California. We always figured that Los Angeles was probably the sickest place in America because of the smog.
Yeah, there was a ballot proposition in California in November, Proposition 87. Celebrities like Bill Clinton and Julia Roberts were barnstorming around the state trying to whip up support for the measure, which eventually lost. And they were saying things like California's air is, you know, literally sickening and killing Californians. At JunkScience.com, you know, we can't let statements like that go by, so we looked at the data. And, you know, if you look at the areas of California that have the worst air quality, you know, the health of the people there is usually better than in states where they fully meet federal air quality standards.
Stephen Malloy has been our guest. He's the publisher of JunkScience.com. You can read the list for yourself, the top 10 junk science moments for 2006, at the website, JunkScience.com. Stephen, thanks for taking time out of your schedule
to
talk with
Great
us.
Great to be here.
Well, right. Love
Bye-bye.
To have you back. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Fair Tax. Bill Phelps, national spokesman for FairTax.org, joins us in less than 10 minutes. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is the Eagle 93.9.